Blog Talk Radio. Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules.
Welcome to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Julie from beautiful Southern California, and I'm so glad you could be with us tonight.
Oh, SoCal, all right.
Southern Cal, yeah.
Hey, it's 15 degrees here, sweetheart. 15 degrees, the wind's blowing at 25 miles an hour. I just went for a walk. I mean, the wind chills are like sub-zero. I dream of Southern California.
Yeah, well, it's 5 degrees here in the U.K.
raining.
I got to tell you, beautiful Southern California, nothing but blue skies. It's about 30 degrees, but it's going to warm up to about 80. And boy, it's just beautiful. I just love living here. No complaints. But anyway, we do have a great show for you tonight. If you haven't heard of the interview with Spirit, you will now. We've got this whole divine crew with us, including Ken McLean, Neil Long, and Amanda Goldston. So welcome to all. Let me just do a bit of introduction so my listeners will better be able to identify you as you speak. Of course, you're going to recognize the English accent, so we can start with Ken, who doesn't have one. Ken McLean hails from Ann Arbor, Michigan, and has many well-known books. He's also created an excellent video called The Law of Attraction Explained, which Ken, I was surprised. I had that on my webpage for the longest time, even before I knew Interview with Spirit. So it's
really?
Excellent.
Wow. Oh,
and
excellent. Good.
Yeah, it's probably the best explanation of Law of Attraction anywhere. So go to my website and see that.
Well, thank you.
And then when you hear Ken talk about the guys, he's referring to these wonderful entities that channels through him. So, he even has some information that he, quote, downloaded for
us. I call it downloading. It was interesting. When I got Neil's email, as I told you before, all of a sudden this stuff came through and I wrote it down. And, you know, it's about three or four pages long, so I don't know if you want to go through the whole thing, but, you know, maybe we can talk about the salient points of it during the show.
Absolutely.
All right, cool.
I got to tell you, this is going to be a great show. And then let me talk about Neil for a second, who is a well-known disc jockey and radio show host in England and is the most quizzical guy around.
Yes.
He is the skeptic, and you got to pass Neil to pass the test here. Hey, Neil, great to talk with you again.
Oh, Julie, nice to be on. It did all start because I was tootling around on the internet. I mean, I've been reading metaphysical stuff for quite a while, so I was familiar with the conversations with God and the Abraham Hicks material and all that sort of thing. And I found Ken, who claimed to be channeling, so for fun I emailed him and I said, I don't believe you're doing what you're doing. And he said, yes, I am. I said, no, you're not. I said, okay, I do radio. Let me interview them, not you, them. And he agreed. And it was all born from there. So we created this this website, Interview with Spirit. And it's really just all gone from there. And the material that he brings through, I have to say, is absolutely bang on and extraordinary. And to be honest, I do believe him. I do believe him. But even if I didn't, it wouldn't matter because the material is good enough anyway. It doesn't really matter where it comes from as long as it's good. And
right.
As you'll hear later on the show, it is very, very good. So that's my part. But I'm playing the Mulder, the skeptic.
Oh, yeah. Which,
no, the Scully the Skeptic. That's it.
Scully the Skeptic, right.
Yeah, yeah.
The truth is out there, Neil.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, that all kind of brings it all together, doesn't it? And then we have Amanda Goldston, who is has had an extensive marketing background, and she is now an angel card reader. And Amanda, do you read for businesses with all your expertise?
Yes, I do, for individuals and also for businesses, because it's really fascinating, particularly with a business, to look at the kind of energies going on around them and to look at potentially the decisions that they're making, to see what energies are around at the moment, what potentially might be blocking it, what might be stopping it, which then you can actually look at, well, okay, if we shifted this, moved that, changed this around, how the whole project could then move forward far quicker, far easier. Businesses are really fascinating, actually, to do readings for.
Oh, I can imagine. Oh, that sounds wonderful. Boy.
It does.
You know what? That's the tool that I think every business needs. I mean, just to get directed in the right way. There's so much unsurety about what to do, especially in this time and day and time. So, yeah, I can see where it would be a huge benefit. By the way, you three are all on the radio with Interview with Spirit.
Yes.
Now
yes.
On the radio. And to get access to that radio station, you go to www.interviewwithspirit.com.
That's our main site, and you'll find a link on there. Yeah, and we thoroughly enjoy doing it every Thursday night. Great fun. There's a real energy vibe when we do it. I mean, there really, really is. We get people calling in, and on top of everything else, it's just really, really good fun.
It is.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, I know. Wow, great. Okay, well then now that we've introduced everybody, let's get down to the real nitty-gritty. You know, the law of attraction, you still have to live in this reality. And the question that I think a lot of my listeners are wondering, okay, well, how do we live in this reality, not ignore it, not put our head in the sand, and then, you know, and still enjoy all the emotions and still enjoy what's around us? I mean, it's like a questioning, what can we do here? It's just
right.
Very, very exciting time, you know.
Isn't it?
Oh, it's
absolutely an incredible time. And, you know, I think we all signed up for it, all of us who are, I don't know how old you are, I'm 56, but I signed up to be alive at this time because, really, this is maybe one of the most exciting times in planetary history in the last 10,000 years.
Oh, I agree.
And yeah, yeah. And as far as using the law of attraction, what I would say is that in order to solve a problem, you have to be at a higher vibration than the problem. For instance, you know, the president talks about the war on terrorism, but if you analyze the two vibrations, terrorism, that's a vibration of hatred. And if you analyze the vibration of war, that's hatred too. So these are self-reinforcing vibrations. And so when you have a problem, when you apply the law of attraction, you have to stay centered, you have to stay within yourself, but that doesn't mean that you should avoid involvement in life. I mean, right now we need people to become involved in these issues, but the thing is we have to create positive solutions and not fight negative ones. In other words, so many people join organizations to fight this or that or to stop this or that, but I think people who really understand the law of attraction understand that you have to create positively rather than try to eliminate the negative.
Okay, but then the question goes along with this. What about politicians who are up there and who are trying to lead? And some of them do have, some of them, isn't that terrible? But they do have, you know, our best intentions at heart. Okay, so how do they, in this whole scheme of things, in the political system, I mean, can you know this as well as I do, you know, the U.S., you know, there's a whole system. How do you maneuver in it and still be that higher vibration and not get sucked down? And then how do you, you know, you have to address the war that's going on in order to resolve the problem. So how can they, how can any politician actually get up there and do their job?
I would say that first of all, in order to do anything, you have to stay in your personal integrity.
Right.
And I favor two politicians, one on the Democratic side, which is Dennis Kucinich, and the other on the Republican side, which is Ron Paul.
Uh-huh.
And I believe both of these people are staying in their integrity. They're not compromising their reality. They're saying what needs to be said, especially poor old Ron Paul on the Republican side. I mean, he's being bashed and battered, but he's bringing up the important economic and political issues that face our nation, and he's not compromising. And I frankly, I can't believe that guy is so, to me, he's so awesome. He refuses to compromise. He'll get excited sometimes, but I mean, when you have everybody in the debates and all the media people attacking you all the time, it's amazing to me that he stays as calm as he does. But you know, to me, the answer is staying in your integrity, knowing what you want, and staying in your integrity, and not, you know, not being baited into going into anger or hatred or, you know, whatever. We need positive solutions.
Right, and I think that's why, you know, I can't foresee Ron Paul winning, although I think he is a fantastic candidate. Thank God he's there, because he
yes.
can bring these issues to light. And although you can see the other politicians not wanting to get into him, but you know, he is there for a purpose, and I think it's absolutely wonderful that he's there.
I do.
But, you know, and here's the side, you know, I'm pro-woman, absolutely, absolutely pro-woman. And here, what you just said about Ron Paul is absolutely wonderful. It's true. But then I'm a woman who would love to see this time of period be a place where a woman can be elected to the U.S. government. And I think that's been prevented for a while. So you know, here we've got your buttons being pushed to be getting excited about this, and my buttons are getting pushed. And then to put it all together, here's a black man who for the first time is being seriously considered. How exciting.
Yes.
I mean, it can't get any better than this.
You're right, Julie. It really can't. Look, we've got a libertarian who's actually getting some exposure. We've got a black man, Barack Obama, who's getting serious consideration. And we've got a woman, Hillary Clinton, who's, you know, maybe the favorite to take the Democratic nomination. And, you know, we're making incredible progress politically. I mean, the news media concentrates on all the bad stuff and the horrible stuff. But as you say, I mean, look at what's happening. There's always a silver lining.
Oh, yeah.
And getting back to the law of attraction, I mean, in order for us to solve the problems of the world, we have to stay positive and create positive solutions. I mean, yes, we have all kinds of negative stuff happening around us, but I believe in the underlying substrate of the American people, there's a spiritual awakening going on that's being completely ignored by the news media. And with all the social network sites now, I mean, and mobile technology, internet and email, we the people are sitting on a gold mine. We are sitting on a way to actually change the paradigm from the old paradigm to a new paradigm of thought. And I believe that what's happening in politics today is a reaction by the old order to this higher vibration that is occurring on the planet. I mean, I think these people are really scared, and they're trying to hold on and force people, you know, to act and think the same ways. But, you know, it's not happening.
It's not happening.
Neil sent me this interesting email about the current reality, and it was very interesting. And as soon as I got this email, all of a sudden I started getting this message, and so I wrote all the stuff down. And basically what they first said is that it said, in these times, which some have called the end times, the vibrational momentum on your planet is increasing. You've already entered a period of chaos where the energy of thought, driven by the choices you are making, has detached itself from the current dominant attractor and is headed off in a new direction. The exciting news is no one, least of all us, have any idea where you are headed, which is pretty interesting. It says, from our vantage point, we see an incredibly intricate, dynamic, beautiful tapestry of light that human beings are creating with their thoughts and preferences. These patterns are creating billions of swirling vortexes of energy. They combine for a while and release in millions of different geometries, all of it exquisitely beautiful to us. There will come a time in the near future when these patterns will coalesce and a new, more stable era in human consciousness will be born. The dynamic and volatile nature of this consciousness shift is directly related to the growth of the human population, just as a crowded parking lot will generate more movement and a greater chance of accidents. An expanding population means more ideas and more options. Now, they say that the time frame for this can be anywhere for within a couple of years to several decades. It all depends on where and when the patterns reach what has been called a tipping point. The tipping point, we would say, is the new dominant vibrational pattern or attractor, which the choices of humanity will create. The new attractor will invite thought, belief, and therefore action to it. And that's what we were talking about earlier, Julie, about the old order sort of backlashing and reacting to this new vibration.
Right.
I think what's happening is that the energy on the planet is increasing due to the choices of humanity, and these people can feel it. And actually, the guys have something to say about that, which is pretty exciting, too. They say, you have no idea of the power of your thoughts and your choices. Each of you is a powerful vortex of energy, and each of you is surrounded by a field of subtle energy that influences each other, the species consciousness, and the geological and climactic processes which proceed forth from the energy field of Gaia herself. Each of you contribute your powerful note to the everybody knows. Now, they say we use the term everybody knows to describe the accepted mode or pattern of belief. For thousands of years, for example, one of the maxims of humanity's dominant belief system was that the woman is subordinate to the man. This idea went unquestioned in most human societies until a century ago. Now that idea is increasingly seen as outdated, and that's exactly what we were talking about before. Law of attraction at work, Julie.
Yes, you better believe it, and I'm doing it all.
Yeah.
I'm making
Yep, that's changed.
Multitasking female here.
Indeed. All right, now, I just want to read this one little bit, and maybe then we can discuss. All right, so it says, the old order has pushed the United States into financial insolvency. What has happened is that the United States has been a target for the forces aligned to the old attractor. In their fear and insecurity, those who resonate to the old attractor, or the old paradigm of thought, lash out frantically as they feel the earth begin to resonate to a higher vibration. Have you ever felt this way? Perhaps you were in a job interview or on a training course. The material is cutting at you very quickly, and everyone else in the class seems to get it, but you feel left behind. Perhaps you are just a bit unqualified for the job, and the interviewer is asking you questions that you don't feel knowledgeable enough to answer confidently. You know, there's that feeling of slipping away. Does that not generate a sense of panic within you?
Yeah.
Well, we assure you that is how your president and those aligned with him are feeling right now, because they occupy positions of power, which, by the way, have been granted to them vibrationally by the citizens of the United States, they can create mischief. When we look inside George W. Bush, we see a childlike, beautiful soul who is very frightened. This is a good man who vibrationally has gotten in over his head, just as in our example above. Now that, I had a lot of difficulty writing. I had a lot of difficulty writing that. But when I got this energy, I mean, it came forth so, I don't know how to describe it. It was just, okay, this is the energy of George Bush, and it was of this really innocent sort of childlike person who's just really sweet.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't write that. But it was so strong that I wrote it anyway. So, I don't know. It seems to be that there's a lot to discuss there.
Yeah.
Never scared to call controversy, are we?
No, well, it gets even more controversial later on, but
right.
You know, is there any comments that anyone would like to make about that?
Well, I think we can actually just as much throw in the UK in there as we can the US. It's,
yeah.
It really is very, very interesting because there is so much going on with the planetary energies, and it's also it's bringing up so much old stuff that's needing shifting. And also, I'm finding for a lot of people, they're having real challenging situations because they're finding that what they thought of as the stable society that they've grown up with, that is no longer the case. And more we're seeing topsy-turvy kind of things, and more we're seeing frightened, scared actions. I mean, I could really resonate with what you said there, Ken, about George Bush, because when you look beyond it, and you can actually see that a lot of the actions seem to be coming out of fear. It's almost as if when you take kind of governments as a whole, and I kind of generalize and say pretty much Western countries worldwide,
mm-hmm.
there is so much trying to hold on to that power. whereas a lot of people now are clearing away stuff that's not serving and actually reclaiming their own power and starting to question things that they've never previously questioned.
Mm.
And this, I think, is also what's causing it. But literally, as the Earth's vibration is raising, it has to have the clearing out of what doesn't serve for us all to be able to kind of rise into that place of our own personal power. I suppose the simple analogy with that is to say that if you've got a big smile on your face and you're grinning from ear to ear, you cannot feel depressed. And likewise, if you're drooping and your shoulders are down and life's unfair and everything else, you cannot feel happy and joyful.
Mm.
So, well said, Ken. I think that was brilliant.
Well, it was brilliant too.
Ken, may I just put this bit in? You know, I just saw President Bush on the TV just a couple of minutes ago, and he came out and he was talking about the economy. And, you know, his tone of voice, everything has totally changed. I mean, he is a different man. You can tell that he is afraid. You can tell that he is very sad. So now the shift that it was even a month ago where people, you know, the majority of the U.S. absolutely were furious with him. You know, that number is getting up to be almost 70% now. So, but now the shift, what I am seeing is now I'm starting to feel actually kind of sorry for him.
And
there is a shift occurring here. It's not that I'm going to support him, but clearly from what you just said or from what the guys just said, he is a scared little boy.
But that's
you got to understand, you got to love that person, which, wow, that really rang true for me today.
Well, certainly, and I think it's not a perspective that I would have leapt to. I mean, I respect what the guy is saying. And when you really stop and step back and think about it, well, yeah, and we don't treat fear with you know, more fear, you know, certainly not.
Because
I remember, Judy, when I saw the list of questions that you wanted to cover, the topics you wanted to cover, I thought, oh, that's heavy, heavy stuff. And I thought, I want the guys to give their answer, because if we do it, we're just going to do what the media probably, or maybe we wouldn't, but we might have gone the way the media would go and say, isn't this awful, isn't that awful, and it just wouldn't serve anybody. But certainly, I do feel some compassion for him and for all the world leaders. It's not easy. Really. It's not easy running a country. I mean, surely everyone's got to take personal responsibility to some degree. It's not like we can dump it all on one person. I guess.
And we can't dump it on one person. There's still Congress, and there's a lot of infighting going on in Congress. So really, we're at a dead still. We can't go forward.
Mm.
So. What is it that we can send, or how do we think that we can send our powerful energy to these politicians to create a different reality for tomorrow?
Well, I think we are creating a different reality, and I would like to comment on something that Amanda said. She said that the vibration of the planet is rising, and I just want to say that the vibration of the planet is rising because of our choices. I mean, that's why the vibration of the planet Earth is rising right now. The vibration is rising in the species consciousness of humanity. And just as Amanda says, when that happens, the old stuff has to come out. It's like when you heal, when you have a wound that's full of pus, you have to clean it out first. And what's happening, I believe, all these old thought forms and all this old paradigm of thought is being sort of extirpated. It's being rooted out of the consciousness of everyone. And because politicians are in positions of power, all of their actions are magnified, they're amplified, and if they make a mistake, of course, their mistakes are amplified too, because the energy is moving so fast. So really, I think it behooves all of us who are aware of the law of attraction to keep that love in our hearts, to keep the positive, creative solutions going. And we can do that through our social networks. We can do that through the internet, through our social networking sites, through mentioning positive things and not just dwelling on negative things.
Yeah, I agree. But does that mean that we should ignore the reality that's going on? For example, should we just put our head in the sand and not even admit that there is a war going on? Wouldn't it be better that we should acknowledge, yeah, this is the situation, and let's create a different scenario?
Definitely. I mean, you can't ignore something. I mean, if a car is coming down the street and you say, oh, I'm going to apply the law of attraction and I'm going to make that car disappear, you know, whatever, right? I mean, you have to get out of the way. You have to acknowledge the reality first. But the key, I think, to applying law of attraction is not to get stuck in that reality. Like we talked about before, Julie, before the other guys came on, it's like in order to handle a situation, you have to be at a higher vibration than the situation. Otherwise, you get immersed, you get drawn in like a magnet to that situation. Then you become part of the problem instead of part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we need to do is become part of the solution. And those of us who understand the law of attraction have to invent creative solutions. And the technology right now of mobile technology and the internet has made it possible for us to spread our ideas around the entire planet instantly. You know, more and more people are coming online. Every single day there are millions of more people that are coming online every month. And this is such an exciting time. We have the ability right now to completely change the paradigm of thought. I mean, that's what my website is devoted to, kjmclain.com, M-A-C-L-A-A-N.com. I mean, I have all my articles and my movies and books, and they're all dedicated to, like, changing the paradigm of thought from the negative to the positive. And I think so many people resonate with that.
I think also a great quote that I heard once was, world peace is a personal thing. And,
wonderful.
And you can't, and you know, you really can't, I think, Julie. I mean, because obviously we've got, you know, problems here in the UK, and I can go through the papers in the morning and go, oh, isn't it awful, and end up feeling, well, awful. and like you, I think, but I can't just ignore that. Oh, I could maybe ignore that. Oh, but I can't ignore that. But the thing is, it still doesn't feel any better. But if I was, I suppose, selfish enough to want to feel good and then encourage other people to be selfish enough to want to feel good, then we'd have a group of free people who all felt good and felt connected to each other, and I suppose that would be the higher vibration. But like Ken says, you can't, and I've heard the guys say as well through Ken, don't fight the negative. You can't have a war for peace.
Right.
You can't have a war for peace.
I do have another analogy, but I won't use it because it's a bit rude. But
it's a funny thing. In my book, The Vibrational Universe, my friend Craig is really into world peace, and I remember one day at a meditation meeting, he's talking about, but the world political situation and the war in Iraq, and he goes, yeah, but I'm supposed to be. You know, I'm supposed to be resonating for world peace. But then what about the economy, and what about George Bush, and what about this and that? And then he realized, and he said it, and he had this epiphany right there, and he said, you know, in order for me to create world peace, I have to be peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going, holy cow, that is so powerful. That was so awesome to me.
And all the contemporary spiritual teachings, and the ancient ones as well, but certainly the modern contemporary ones, you know, they point you back to what might be called the God within, the connection to divinity within, you know, from the Christian perspective, you know, the kingdom of heaven within. And if you're in that place, that state of consciousness, that state of being, whatever it was, you certainly wouldn't resonate to war, hardly. You'd be an example of something else. You wouldn't ignore it and pretend it wasn't happening, but you certainly wouldn't be a part of it. Yes, I think that's what I wanted to say. I mean, you throw a drowning man a rope, you pull him to shore, but you wouldn't jump in with him.
Yes, but what about these men who have to go over there and fight? Surely they don't want to be there, so how do they deal with it? I mean, they're right in the midst of it, or is that just an illusion?
Well, that's a good question. It's really hard to know the thoughts of other people, you know.
Right.
And
it's a very difficult question, and it's not one I would pretend to have an answer to. I mean, I'm a skeptic, and I'm slowly coming to the understanding, slowly bit by bit, of law of attraction. But I fully admit I don't have an answer to that, and I wouldn't pretend that I'm something I'm not that I do. I'll be absolutely honest.
Well, truthfully, I want to know is I'm all for peace too, and I do a lot of peace meditations. Now, what can I do to stand up and lead? Do I just gather people and just focus on peace? What is it that I can do, or we can suggest to people to stand up and lead?
Well, you're doing it, Julie. You've got your law of attraction talk radio, and you're reaching. I don't know how many thousands of people you're reaching, but, I mean, this is the perfect forum for you to do that. And you are doing it. And I think, see, what happens is, we are not able to see our own thought forms because the law of attraction operates on two levels. It operates on a physical level of action, but it also operates on the subtle energy substrate level. I mean, I personally believe that the entire universe is a field of consciousness, and your thoughts have power. I mean, other people can pick up on them, and when you organize people, as you say, into meditation groups or groups for peace, you are really doing a whole lot. I mean, you're broadcasting this vibrational signal into the ethers that other people are picking up on. And then when you go on the radio and you tell people, look, I've got this meditation group. You know, I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I've got this book you should read. Let's join Downsize DC. You know, that's one of the groups that I belong to. And let's lobby the Congress through emails. I mean, there's so many positive things that we can do.
Oh, okay.
And
now, wait a minute. Stop right there. Now, what do you exactly lobby the Congress? How are you doing that?
We're doing it by emails.
Okay,
we're saying,
what do you say?
We're saying, oh, this is guy, Jim Babka of Downsize DC. All you have to do is join his group. He's brilliant. And he's got the right idea about the economy and about politics. And we say, okay, look, you know, the Military Commissions Act is a really bad act, and what we want you to do is we want you to repeal it. We want you to pass Ron Paul's Honest Money Act. We want you to pass the Read the Bills Act. You know, Congress passes thousands and thousands of pages of legislation every year, and they never read it. And so Downsize DC has this email campaign where you go, look, please, senators and representatives, we want you to sponsor and pass the Read the Bills Act. Basically, what this does is it keeps politicians on notice that the people are here and they want democracy. And we do it in a very positive fashion. We don't fight anything. We create positive solutions. It's really, really fun.
Something else I read about as well was a study. I think it was I read it in a Deepak Chopra book. I think he's brilliant. And he talks about the Maharishi effect, who taught TM, Transcendental Meditation.
Right.
And they did studies with it. And they found that groups of meditators, when they meditated and got into that higher vibe place, the crime rates went down.
Oh, yes. That's Washington, D.C. and Dr. John Hagelin. You're absolutely right.
So, again, that would bear out the theory that you can't fight for peace. And if people are being peaceful and meditating and connecting with a higher self, you know, whatever our belief in our source, whatever it might be, is. But if you're doing that, we're going to increase the peace in the world rather than contribute to the negativity in the world. That is my understanding of the law of attraction. I don't claim to understand politics. I don't understand British politics, let alone USA politics. Ken can talk much more intelligently about that than I can. But it's, you know, put very simply, focus of attention. How about you, Amanda? What's your thoughts?
I think one of the things that's really powerful for me, and I think I first saw it, I think it was in The Secret, and basically what it said is that the situations we've got around us now are the result of the thoughts and things that we've thought and the actions we've done previously.
Mm.
So it's almost as if there's a catch-up effect, which was what Ken was talking about before, is that all the things we've thought, we've done, we've created, all the things we've put emotion into, what we're seeing now is the result of that. So my thought on it would be, well, rather than looking around and seeing all of these things that we've created, if we can kind of shift the focus and say, okay, well, if that's kind of the backlog of previous thoughts, if we've now got new thoughts and new actions, such as focusing on the positive, on peace, on personal empowerment, it's only going to be a very small matter of time before that essentially becomes the new reality. And the more people that we can all reach out to, Julie, you with your show is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Interview with Spirit. And as we're doing work individually, collectively, the more people we can reach out to one at a time and say, focus on peace, focus on your personal empowerment, focus on taking back the responsibility for your thoughts, your actions, your deeds, your life. One person at a time, that is literally then the ripple effect, and then over time, all of those thoughts and actions kind of catch up with themselves. And that would be my thoughts on it. Yes, Neil, I would agree with you. Is I have no clue as to British politics, and the American system seems even more complex.
Yes.
But to me, if I can kind of focus on just sort of want helping myself and being in a place where I'm feeling joy and feeling good and feeling positive, and I can kind of pass that energy on to somebody else, yeah. where there's maybe just even just a slight little mind shift, rather from, well, all this is going on, isn't it terrible, to perhaps, well, how could I move myself forward? How could I maybe help somebody else move forward? And I think we've all got to keep doing what we're doing and just get the message out there constantly.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think that is very, very well put. Mm. And actually, again, I have to say that we have to become our own spin doctors. But Ken, you mentioned the end times, or the guys did. What exactly does the end times? You know, that sounds pretty scary.
Well, I think it's just it's the end times of the old order. I think that's what's happening. In fact, if you don't mind, I don't know if you want to get on with this message. It says, oh, yeah, the Constitution of the United States is a great shining beacon of light. It encapsulates the ideas of liberty and equality and codifies them so that the forces within society maintain dynamic equilibrium and balance. In Ken's mind, we see a tensegrity structure of Buckminster Fuller. This is a geometric structure. He says, these configurations are flexible and strong and can adjust to changing conditions and forces, yet still maintain their integrity. The forces aligned to the old attractor, or the old order, have attacked the United States in its vulnerable underbelly, the dollar, just as the United States attacked the Soviet Union in a similar fashion 20 years ago to weaken the ruble. Again, this is the law of attraction at work. And they tell us that this economic sort of crisis that the U.S. and the U.K. is going through is necessary for balance. The old order are doing their job. They are accelerating a trend that was inevitable. All is well. There's a great rebalancing of energy occurring on the planet at this time. Although this rebalancing could have occurred smoothly, the consciousness of humanity would not allow it. In the United States especially, there's an appetite for conflict and confrontation. No. And so it is, not surprising that the law of attraction would work as it has. The financial demise of the United States was accomplished by stealth. Even now, the mainstream media has no idea of the true state of affairs, although that is actually coming to the surface more and more. All right, and then they go on to say, we tell you that all of this is necessary. On your planet, you do things the hard way. That has been your history through many planetary cycles. Now you are coming to the end of another cycle and have another opportunity to choose your direction. This time, we hope you choose the path of self-empowerment and not victimization, cooperation and respect, instead of domination and control. But however it turns out, we know that you will when your time on Earth is over. Be eager to return, for there is something exciting about your volatile, beautiful, and dangerous planet. You are all adventurers and would not have missed this time, not for anything. And then we get into some controversial stuff. I don't really know if you want to get into that, but
oh, sure, why not? Why the heck not?
All right. He says, now I didn't want to write this because I thought it was pretty kooky. But he says, do you think that your planet is isolated and alone in the universe? Now you know that Tom Cruise and other people have been castigated for saying that Earth isn't the only source of intelligent life in the universe, right? So I probably will too. He says, anyway, we assure you that it is not. For thousands of years, your planet has had visitors, and in fact, the biological stock of humankind has been influenced by these visitors. At the present time, there is an adjustment between the quickening vibration of humanity and those who have interacted with humanity since the end of the last planetary cycle. That is all we will say on the matter, for we tell you that you are not victims. The universe is vibrational, and universal laws are scrupulously fair, allowing free will and, you would say, equal opportunity. Each one of you interfaces personally with the universe's operating system, and each one of you is empowered. You invite and create your destiny, so do not worry about the other actors in the play. We tell you that the awakening currently in progress on Earth is now unstoppable. Along with Gaia herself, humanity is finding a new attractor, a new vibrational platform, a new dominant set of memes. Can you feel it? It is in the ethers, a sense of excitement, of change, of growth, and of the discarding of old energy and beliefs. This can feel frightening and even painful as parts of you are let go. It's so cool because it's exactly what Amanda was saying. He says, do not worry, dear ones. Are you afraid of the weeds that inhabit your garden and choke off the growth of your favorite plants and flowers? Of course not. As you kneel on the ground, as you kneel on the good fragrant earth with a warm sun on your body, you pluck the unwanted growths from the flower bed and discard them. This process is occurring now. We're almost done here. Will there be adjustments? Of course. As we mentioned before, the Earth is coming into a new balance, which is reflected in the current state of the U.S. dollar and the ascendance of Asia in international trade and finance. We see the pendulum swinging the other way for a while as the United States loses economic power and Asia gains. This is necessary if the new attractor, based on equal opportunity and mutual respect, is to flourish. And now, this is interesting, it says Europe holds the balance. Vibrationally, Europe is perfectly positioned to be the link that unites East and West, North and South. We see this trend as very beneficial for the people of the United States. Your people have lost that great American spirit that created the Constitution and codified freedom and liberty in a beautiful governmental structure that propelled it to the greatest military and economic power the world has seen since the last cycle ended, just as the British Empire dominated the world a century earlier. But this also created an imbalance, which is now being righted. So the history of your planet has proceeded thusly. The Roman Empire, the great Mongol Empire, and others have risen, dominated for a time, and then disintegrated. This cycle has been repeated over and over since the end of the last one, for it's a reflection of the dominant memes in the human consciousness. That is now changing as more memes oriented to source begin to gain ascendance. Like a warm front encountering a cold one, a few storms are inevitable until balance is achieved. Okay, that's basically it.
Wow.
There's still a few more. Basically, they just say, envision and create the reality you desire, both personally, nationally, and on a planetary scale. And, you know, you have no idea how powerful is your conscious and deliberate creation. Your thought forms, your choices, and your intentions literally program the species grid and affect the grid of Gaia herself, as well as the other life forms that coexist with you upon the Earth. This process is invisible to you because encased within your biological containers, you can't see your subtle but powerful thought forms, but they exist in intricate, beautiful, and interconnected tapestry that creates the physical structures upon your planet. You know? All right, last sentence. You're writing your own script. You're the actors in the grand play called Earth. Your work as spiritually aware beings is to create that bright future you have always dreamed of. Do it. Never let go of your dreams or your aspirations. These are the very stuff of life and the reason you came to Earth. You are the masters, and we watch in awe as you discover your inner truth and your power. That's it.
Wow.
That was amazing.
I mean, I'm coming out of my chair. I mean, I'm so excited. I mean, I'm stuttering around. And
Well, let me ask you a question about this, all of you.
Yeah.
Okay, now you said that the U.S. is going through a shift financially and everything, and you can see this is happening. This is so true. Okay, now what do we do on the individual basis not to be affected by this? Or can we, or do we just need to go with the flow?
Well, let's let Amanda and Neil talk about that. I mean, I've been hogging the whole the radio show here. What do you guys think?
I actually think that the more we as individuals can be in our personal power, I mean, that's probably perhaps not the best of words, but the more we can be in total integrity with who we are, and the more that our business transactions are conducted through honesty, integrity, truth, they're conducted through compassion, they're conducted from a place of not only helping ourselves, so it's not about giving all your stuff away, but it's about helping ourselves and helping other people. And I think on an individual basis, yes, it's partly going with the flow. I think also as things are coming up individually, it's important to shift them and clear them. I mean, I've come into contact recently with an awful lot of people who have a whole heap of blocks around money and abundance. And you can almost see what's happening in the individual. You can see reflected in the society as a whole. I come across a lot of people who are in real problems with debt. And again, if you look at both the UK and the US, it's reflected there. The individual is reflecting the country. And I think if we as individuals can literally stride forward in our greatness, being comfortable with who we are and transacting our personal and business lives from that place of being human, in my view, that is the very best thing we can do. Because I think, yes, Ken, it sounds terrific, the thing you're doing with the Congress, But I kind of think, for me, certainly any dealings I've had with anything political, whether at a local or national level, it's been a very frustrating experience. Whereas I think the more we can just literally go forward, clear what's coming up, and just treat ourselves and other human beings, work on the basis kind of, well, we can do pretty much whatever we want as long as we're not harming another individual, and come at it from that place of being in a place of love and joy and laughter and fun, and literally let our own light shine forward. And I think Gandhi said, be the change
to
see.
Yeah, less to light a candle than curse the darkness. Another good thing on money, I mean, because most people believe that there never has been enough money. That's most people's belief about money. You look it up in the dictionary and most people will find it under N for not enough. But
I like that one.
But there's a brilliant another channel book from all the channel stuff's coming out tonight. I don't know if anyone's heard of Sanaa Raman, and she's done a whole series of books, and this one's called Creating Money, Keys to Abundance. Now, I recommend that because it's practical and it's a very spiritual way of doing it, and it's about, you know, plenty of money for yourself, plenty of money for other people, using it for the good of yourself, using it for the good of others, and a balance between ebb and flow. And again, it's all joy-based. It's joy-based. It's about following your joy. It's not about toil and strain and struggle and hard work and people not being able to retire and having to work to their 85. It's not about that at all. But if we keep going on this path that we're going, that's exactly where we're going to get. But the good news is we turn it around by doing what feels good. And nothing is more important than feeling good. And now is a great, we've only got now. So why wait to shine your light? Why wait to follow your joy? Why wait to do what feels good? Is that selfish? Yes and no, because if everyone did it and everyone did what feels good, we'd have a world that really felt good, which is not, you know, law of attraction at its most basic. And I do not claim to be, please let me say, I don't claim to be any kind of enlightened guru. I've read spiritual material. I've got an intellectual understanding of it. I don't meditate on mountaintops. I'm a very ordinary guy. And this, as you know, Julie, all started as a dare. So I'm thinking, you know, what have I got myself into? But what I would say to people is, you know, follow what feels good. Follow your joy. Follow your joy. Follow your joy.
Brilliant. And what Amanda said was brilliant, too. I think in these times, it's even more important in our business transactions. Total honesty, total openness, total transparency. And as Neil said, you can't be afraid to be yourself. I mean, today I woke up and I had this huge realization. You know, I thought that if I was totally myself, I would irritate people. And because I'm very temperamental. I'm very excitable, as you probably can hear. And sometimes people go, well, "Who is that guy? He's a nut. He's just too loud for me." And then I realized that, but if I'm truly being myself, that I will come from a place of peace and joy, and people will be able to pick up on that. And so I think, Amanda, you're absolutely right. You have to totally be yourself, Neil. Be yourself, and in your business transactions, complete honesty and openness and transparency, especially in these times.
Exactly. But I think what I wanted to get a little bit of clarification is that no matter if the U.S. is going through financial difficulties, it does not have to apply to us personally. We have the power within our own mind to create all the money in the world that we need to be happy and free.
Yes, something it says in the Sanaa Raman book, to come back to that again, it said you're being sent all the guidance you need right now to create abundance, even in times of recession and downtimes.
Excellent.
So it's there already. What we need is always there, no matter what the conditions are, the outer conditions. What we need is always there. We just need to know that and know where to look. And I do recommend that book. It's a very, very good resource. It's on the Interview with Spirit blog, I think.
And you know, yeah, sorry.
No, that's fine.
Give us the name of the book again, Neil.
It's Sanaa, S-A-N-A-Y-A, Sanaa, I think it's pronounced. And then Raman, spelled Roman, R-O-M-A-N. And
she's fabulous. Oh, yeah.
You know her? Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I've been reading her books for years.
Me too. I would recommend any of her work.
Oh, yeah.
And me.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thoroughly endorse it. And for that matter, all of Ken's books as well, which are different but brilliant as well.
Well, it's funny because we're talking about this situation, and I am living in Michigan, southeastern Michigan, and our economy is literally in the tubes. I mean, the United States, of course, is undergoing financial turbulence, but in southeastern Michigan, our economy is really in the pits. And I've had a contracting business for over 20 years, and it's down the tubes. And so I'm at the perfect cusp here of what I could do is, well, I could rant and rave about my contracting business. I could rant and rave about the economy in George Bush, or I could start creating positive solutions. And that's, you know, that's what I've done. I found these two wonderful people, Amanda Golson and Neil Long, and, you know, I've written my books, and I'm on the Internet, and I'm engaging in Internet marketing, and I'm really confident, man. I'm in pretty good financial situation right now, but I have a feeling that I'm just going to be even better situation. You know, I mean, you can always create a positive solution, no matter what how turbulent the times are. In fact, there's an old saying, you know, you buy when blood is running in the streets. You know, when blood's running in the streets, all the values are down. And, you know, if you've got any money, that's the time to buy. So no matter how bad it gets, I mean, people make money in the stock market during the Depression. There were lots of people that made a lot of money during the Great Depression, during 1929 to 1932 in the United States. And so, you know, if you're creating a positive solution, something will occur to you, and then you follow up on it, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's going to be different for every one of us.
Yes.
Everyone else is going to do it in their own sweet way. This is the good thing about these, I suppose, teachings. They're very generic. It's not that you have to do this or you have to do that. It all happens through our uniqueness, I suppose. So my contribution will be different to yours, Julie, which is fantastic, your show, of course, and Amanda's will be different as well. And Ken, and it'll be different, but the common factor is focus on what feels good, don't focus on the negative, and follow your joy, even if it does seem selfish. But it does seem to work, really, really it does, and that's from a complete newbie at this, like me.
Doesn't it feel wonderful for us, all four of us, to talk? I just feel so wonderful having us four really wonderful and brilliant people here, and, you know, being on the Law of Attraction show and sending out this wonderful information to the whole world. It's just, you know, when you're involved in something positive that you're creating, it feels so much better than trying to fight and struggle and work to change something that's not right, you know?
Right.
I don't know. It just feels so good.
I know. And okay, well, now we've got a couple minutes left of the show. Let's get down to predictions here.
Ooh.
Amanda, you got any predictions for the U.S. elections?
The U.S. I wasn't expecting you to put me on the spot like that one.
And Ken, does the guys have any predictions? Of course.
Well, they don't know where it's going to go, but my personal prediction is that HC is going to be the president.
First woman president, huh?
Yeah, the first woman president. That's my prayer. Although, personally, I hope that doesn't happen. I'm voting for Ron Paul, and I'm encouraging everyone to vote for Ron Paul.
Well,
I'm going to vote for Ron Paul, even if he's not on the ballot. I'm going to write him in. So.
Okay, well, I think that's wonderful. I think I'm really for Hillary. I think it's great, but then again, I'm a woman.
Right.
And I also think, I don't know if people know, that she's very much into New Age. She's very much into the metaphysics, and I don't think people realize that.
Well, that's
interesting. So it's not coming out through our campaign, of course, but, yeah, there's a whole other side to her that people aren't aware of.
Mm. Well, at least she's intelligent, Julie.
Yeah, well, all these women are. What can I say, you know?
Well, she's twice as smart as Bill is, so.
Yeah.
She is. She's intellectually. See, well, I see her as someone who's not heart-centered at all. I see her as a brilliant, sort of a sterile character, brilliant intellectually, and I see Bill Clinton, William Jefferson Clinton, as this beautiful, warm-hearted guy.
Hey, what about you, Amanda? What do you think?
Well, I was going to say, I haven't really got anything definite, because I think it's more a case that I don't really know enough about it. But just kind of putting some cards down, everyone that's coming up is about change, massive, massive change. And in one of my decks of cards, because I do tarot as well, there is a card which is a death card, and that usually stirs great fear in people, but it shouldn't do, Because literally what it is about endings. It's endings and new beginnings. Whoever is coming in, it is about massive, massive, massive change for the better. And the other thing I would add to that is that 2008, astrologically, is a 1 year.
Oh,
so if you add the digits together, which is 2 + 0 + 0 + 8, it's a 1 year. And the 1 year is all about beginnings. It's all about finishing off all the change that's been ongoing for some time. And this as well is particularly people who are coming from perhaps a more spiritual, more holistic base. This is a time for personal prospering, but not personal prospering at the expense of everybody else. And I would say it's not giving any kind of clear answers, because I've kind of asked about the different candidates, but again, not knowing very much about it. But there is some real, real serious change coming in. And I think there might be somewhat unexpected twists to it.
Uh-huh.
Get my tongue around that.
Maybe Ron Paul. Maybe he will win, Winnie. Yeah.
It's really good.
Whatever is going to happen, though, I personally feel that it's going to be the absolute best thing, that we are going to be changing for the much higher purpose, and it's going to be absolutely wonderful. I truly feel that from every part of every cell in my body absolutely feels that. So we're on the right track.
We are.
And well,
things
thank
are not always
you.
As they seem, right? You know, as the pus leaches out, and the pus has to leach out, so for the wound is clean, you know. So
and, we're getting down so that the wounds
are
healed. It's fabulous time. Well, thank you all so very much for joining me today. It
was thank you for having us.
Absolute thrill.
Thank you for having us.
I had so much fun, Julia. This
is a
blast. This is awesome.
Well, maybe we should do this right before the elections again, huh?
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah.
And I'll get more prepared for the question next time, Julia, and I'll have a little bit of contemplation on it beforehand.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great.
Right.
Okay, and Neil, thank you so much for putting this all together for me.
Well, yeah, great pleasure. Thank you very much for having us on, and good luck with your show as well. I mean, you're absolutely storming Blog Talk Radio. You're one of the highest shows on there, so obviously you're doing the right things, so keep doing what you're doing, girl.
I you know what? It's all by the law of attraction.
There you go.
And that's where we're going to end it. So thank everybody for joining me, and for my listeners next week.
You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio, hosted by Jules Johnson. For more information, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com.